Hey,
guess what? You got a new tub.
No, I don't actually. This is a very old tub. I've never seen this before. No, this is quite old. This
really?
Is
really.
I reckon if you actually look back in 2013 era photographs of us at, you know, our various social engagements, you might find this old car depot. Yeah, put it.
Well, look, not to come out with a compliment too early in the podcast, but I reckon maybe it's how you're wearing it. Maybe it's your physique has changed. It's changed the fit.
Yeah, it does.
So it looks like a completely different sweater.
It's a muscle top. Yeah, clearly this is a flattering look.
It didn't start as a muscle top. You didn't buy it as a muscle top.
No, I didn't. It's become it.
You bloody well made it a muscle top.
And I can't help but notice on your end, Michael, just a quick note I see on the camera here. Speaking of how we're looking today, have you done something to your hair?
I'm growing it out.
You're growing it out. Yeah, that's probably what I'm seeing.
Well, you're making reference to my tank top, right, aren't you?
Now that I gaze a little bit lower. See, okay. As a gentleman, I sort of always try and meet the other person's eyes rather than, you know.
You know what's annoying? So, you know, it's a very hot day here. It's 32 degrees. I've been wearing this all morning, and I thought, when I jump on the pod, I don't want Nick to make some comment about it. So I brought a shirt to wear over the top.
Oh no! And, don't please feel free.
And then, you know, a few things came up. I was, you know, a couple minutes late. Had some things to do.
Yeah.
And I forgot to chuck on the top because this is how I've been dressed all morning. And then now. Now you've realized my worst fears, which is that you bring any attention to something that, you know, I mean, I wear this all the time, to be honest. Like, it's not a big deal.
I think you've really sort of not even heard the way that I've interacted. I've said this is great. I've said, quite frankly, that I noticed your hair, not your attire. And somehow you've twisted that into being this sort of projection of your own insecurity about wearing this on the pod. I've said previously many times that to me, straight men are sort of this blur. Like, I don't even really recognize that they're in the room. So it's sort of like, it's hard for me to focus on anything really below the neck. So live your life, man.
This is pretty much the definition of being gaslit though, isn't it? Because we both know what you're doing and you're trying to make me feel crazy.
What? How am I gaslighting you by saying that you look great?
No.
Not going to have it.
Either.
Not having it.
Either I am actually crazy, or you're a manipulator. Okay.
Well, thank you for calling me out on my bullshit, Michael. You look terrible, and that's an embarrassing outfit. Is that what you wanted to hear?
Honestly, feel way more comfortable with that.
Okay, put a shirt on. Put a fucking shirt on.
I know how to receive an criticism. Insult. I still don't know how to receive a compliment,
Michael. You can rock a tank top. You got the guns for it. You look great. You've been working out. The fitness is working for you. You've lost some weight. You're looking like a zaddy. You should be confident in yourself.
Okay, the zaddy. Okay. I'm not quite sure what a zaddy is.
But you're going to take it as an insult.
I don't think I'm going to like it. But that, you know what? You know, I am feeling good about myself these days.
Yeah, good.
You know, I have lost a couple of kgs on the back of last week, but the medication that I'm on is actually used as well for a binge eating disorder.
Oh.
So one of the perks, one of the many perks, is that I've actually lost any will to eat anything and have reached my goal weight.
Fall off.
Reached my goal weight within 2 weeks.
That's incredible.
I never felt better, never looked better.
This is working for you.
Now I'm rocking tank tops.
Yeah. I mean,
on a Sunday.
Who knew
God's
that?
Day.
Yeah. Just as Jesus wanted, to be honest. I think Jesus was more like a nips out guy. Like, he was going around shirtless a lot of the time.
That's a very good question, one I've thought about myself many times. What did Jesus actually wear?
Yeah.
How many times?
What if he was a sarong guy? How would you feel about that? Just like a long skirt.
I mean, I don't think there's anything so wrong with that. I think it's quite so right. So bad. But
should we end the podcast here? Because we've peaked. We've peaked 5 minutes in. Is there any point going on?
I think end the actual show, like full stop. End it. But Nick.
Yeah.
Nick, just on this note,
yeah,
I was having this conversation with Lauren, much to her boredom, the other day. But like Jesus, this is a fun thing to think about. Jesus did a poo. Like there was a moment in history where Jesus was squatting down and like squeezing a turd out of his asshole.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't think about that, but Jesus did poo.
Yeah, Jesus was a guy. He had a digestive tract. Jesus probably ate a hot dog at some point, and that would have really sent those religious fanatics into a bit of a tizzy, because there's no way to do that elegantly.
No, and especially
Jesus loves a hot dog.
And the year 0 BC, or AD, whichever way you look at it, it depends if you're a half glass half empty or full guy. In the year 0, they were like, I'm a 0 BC kind of guy. I'm like, ooh, a bit sad. Yeah, but famously in the Middle East, hot dogs were seen as a delicacy.
Yeah, and I mean, probably full of pork products and things. It might be questionable, you know, pig's assholes famously. That might have raised some eyebrows. So,
look, a lot of the religions don't look fondly on pork. They don't like pigs.
Yeah,
you can't unclean eat beasts. You can't, to quote the Bible, it is a sin to eat an animal that chews of the cud and has a cloved hoof.
Mm. Yeah, so, your religious studies have paid off.
So that rules out pigs.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, but I guess I'll just continue being an atheist then.
Yeah. What else?
Welcome to Deep Thought, everybody. Let's just do it, man. This is a podcast that where you tackle the big issues, you know, with a joie de vivre that you don't often see on some of the podcasts around these places. I think you'd agree with me. A joie de vivre. So,
Joy de Vision.
Sitting through the internet with me, my friend Michael. How you doing, sir?
Sure am. I'm great, man. I'm great.
Do you plan to get really that good tattoo finished off at any point, or is it just going to be that
Which
square?
One? Which one are you talking about?
Just the
about?
Emptier square. I assume just the outline of something that hasn't quite been finished yet.
That was a home job.
It was a home job?
Yeah, I got a friend to do that. I actually quite like that one.
Yeah.
Do you see this one? This is the Radiohead.
Yeah, I see it. And you got, I didn't realize quite how many you have, to be honest. Oh, and I'm Nick. Yeah. I'm Nick, by the way. Hi, I'm Nick. Hi.
Oh, yeah,
hi.
Whatever. Who cares?
You got five?
Oh, more than that. In Asia, it was just so cheap, so I just went a bit nuts.
So you got a square that you did yourself.
Well, that's Elise did that, my friend.
Talk me through the goal there with the square. What was the thinking? Just like a nice little geometric thing. You've always been a math nerd.
I've been a math nerve. No, I mean, she just had her home kit one night and she wanted to practice. And I was like, I do like the geometric shape. So we thought that was a nice little thing. I actually quite like it. I got this in Vietnam, this snake, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So then I saw an artist do that, had a design in Vietnam. It was very cheap. And then I come back to Australia and I speak to some of my friends who have tattoos and they say, you know, that's a sign in the lesbian community that if you have a snake tattooed on your left arm, that means you're a lesbian. It's like a calling card thing.
Oh.
So wow. I'm gay now. I'm a lesbian.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Not my choice.
Coming.
Don't want to be. No. But I am now.
It's quite a tattoo. It's quite a phallic way to declare one's lesbianism, isn't it? To get penetrated by a sticking needle that injects you with something all the time. I mean, come on, pick, you know, do something
Freudian.
Else. It's Freudian. You got a there. You got a snake. You got a.
I got a there. This is a Boards of Canterbury one.
Oh yeah.
So
you got Popeye.
Popeye.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's just. I don't know what that is. That's just a sailor, I think.
Just a sailor.
I don't really know. I don't like that one.
Believe that you just got a sailor on you. You're like, I don't even know what it is. I'm just gonna get a sailor.
No, but it's like I like the design, but I actually really hate that. I want to get that one removed.
Okay. Have you ever had a laser tattoo removal?
No, but
I've heard it's really painful.
Yeah, and expensive, and you have to go like 10 times
several times
to fully get it done. But I mean, like, I remember when I got my first tattoo and I was very proud of it. I wanted to show it. I think we did a podcast that same day.
Yeah.
And I remember you were like, yeah, but like, you can't get really over the thing that's like, it's permanent.
For me,
I just don't, I don't think of it as permanent. Like, I feel like if I want to get rid of it, I really could.
Yeah.
And I could.
And here's actually a suggestion. Why don't you replace the face of the sailor with the face of Fran, your mum, and just put her in a cute little hat and bow tie? And then you got your mum's face on your bicep. That's a classic.
That's not bad. I actually do like that. I like, I would like a tattoo that says call mum. I think that's cute.
Okay. Well, not a, like a mum in a love heart, like the real classic, like 1950s tattoo. Just like
yeah.
That.
I mean, not to bring up misogynist, but Johnny Depp famously had a tattoo when he was dating Winona Ryder that said, Winona forever.
Yeah.
And then he said, wine. And then he got it changed to wino forever.
Yeah.
Which is very fun.
Best of a bad batch, to be honest. I mean, there's not much else you can do that unless you meet like a Nora. You can just like sort of bastardize it. You've really not got that many options.
You're right. You're right. Are you good? Well, so enough about me, Nick, enough about my physical appearance. What's going on with you, mate?
Well, I got a little story to tell you, actually. I've been sitting on this one for 10 days. It's not hyping it up. It's not the hugest thing ever, but I was like, you know what? I could tell him this or I could wait. And I've chosen to wait.
Love
10 days ago, I almost died.
What?
No response. Okay. That's I might have slightly oversold that, to be honest. But 10 days ago, I got stung by a wasp in the neck. Right in the neck meat. Right
really?
In the... So I was heading to the gym. Hashtag GymGab. We work out. Left the house. Walked out the door. Walked around to the car. And then out of nowhere, I got fucking sniped in the back of the neck. I had this sting. I didn't see anything coming. Didn't see any like warning signs or whatsoever. Just right in the back.
And then it got
caught in my hair. And it was
the
like...
stinger?
Did they leave the stinger? The wasp. No, the wasp is... Oh. They're the ones that don't die immediately.
Wow.
But
that's
was,
like if someone stabbed you, like a robber stabbed you, and then he was like, I'm stuck now.
I'm stuck. Yeah.
And so couldn't flee.
It was stuck there and it was in my hair. And I was like, oh, fuck, what the fuck's that? And it's like hurting. I'm like, oh my God. So I like swiped it away. And then I was like, what the fuck was that? And it was halfway through that process. I was like, that was a living thing. That wasn't just like, I don't know, a rock or I bumped into something or something like that. Something alive. And then
I flicked
it away and the wasp landed on the wall next to me. And I was like, that's a wasp. And then I was like, I've been stung by a wasp. I have never been stung by anything in 34 years. We've talked about this previously. Never stung. I've always had this kind of fear. It's like, what if I'm secretly allergic and I'm just walking past these creatures every day and I don't know.
Anaphylax.
I don't know that I'm deathly allergic. This could be it. And so then I'm like, oh shit, that's bad. That's a bug thing. Mm. And it's like in the neck, like of anywhere that it's going to happen. I was like, fuck, that's the place that closes up. You know, that's the danger zone.
It's near the aorta.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Sort of. Yes, you do. Aorta's in the heart, but anyway.
Okay, whatever.
So I was like, oh God. And I looked at it and I genuinely, my brain was like, well, I better take a photo. So I took a quick photo of the thing. I was like, just, you know, for evidence, just so I know what it was. Police can chase it up later, you know, go after the killer. They'll find the evidence on my phone.
The wasp police.
The wasp police. Very hard to say. Wasp police.
Wasp police.
Two P's.
just cancel out the second P. Wasp police.
Wasp police.
There's no double P.
I feel like that's doing it. I feel like it's doing it a disservice. I feel like if you want to respect the troops, you have to say the second P. Wasp
good points. We're getting bugged down. Keep going.
Getting bugged down. We head back inside. I'm like, okay, so this is it. This is how I die. This is the moment that I died and I didn't see it coming.
Not a bad way to go.
If I was genuinely like, I understand snipers now. I'm like,
pretty
I get
cool.
it. Don't even feel
pretty
it
cool
coming.
Way
Don't
to
even
go.
See it. You just back of the head.
Death by wasp.
Yeah, they're going to find me here outside, sprawled on the ground in my gym gear. You know, died a hero.
Probably shut yourself, yeah.
Yeah. So I went back inside and I was like, okay, what does one do when... So I like opened my phone. I'm like, what do wasp sting help first aid? Just like trying to find any information.
Meanwhile, like, your thumbs are swelling.
Yeah,
up
I'm like, I'm checking myself. I'm like, am I breathing okay? Am I breathing okay? Can I feel anything? Yeah. And then I go into the bathroom and I grab, it's saying like wash the wound with soapy water and everything. So I grab a piece of tissue and like cover it in hand wash and like mop. I can't even see it, right? It's behind my head. So I'm mopping the back of the neck to try and get this thing out. And I pull it away from my head and actually find the stinger. So I'm going to send it to you.
So they do leave a stinger.
So this is what I think happened. This was definitely a wasp. I have the photo of the thing, but I pull it out. And I think because it was caught in my hair and I smashed it, I actually like kind of murdered it. So here's what was in my head. I'm just sending that into your chat right now.
Oh my fuck.
Yeah.
No, I might... no. That's a very long stinger.
That's the back of it. Yeah. That's a real COVID jab.
That's a COVID jab right there.
I will put this in the chapter notes. If anyone cares to look at this, I'll it's in your titles now. So
you've got that's half a wasp, basically.
So I've ripped the back off that thing. And I was like, fuck. So I was glad I got it out. And so then I was like rubbing it with soap and everything, trying to rinse it. And then I'm Googling like what to do. And it's like, okay, take antihistamines in case you're allergic. So I popped an antihistamine. Take ibuprofen to stop the swelling. It's okay, ibuprofen. Put vinegar on it. Here's an interesting little tip. So bee stings are acidic. So to negate a bee sting, you want to put something basic on it to cancel out the acid. So something like baking soda.
Like a teenage girl.
A teenage girl, or indeed me with my very basic
recipes. A Swiftie.
Yeah. For a wasp sting, though, wasps are alkaline. Their sting is alkaline. So you put vinegar on it to neutralize it. So I swabbed it with vinegar and then stuck a ice pack on it to stop the swelling. And this was sore. Like the initial attack, not too bad, but like the hour afterwards, I was like, I have a fucking, it's like a vibrating sort of sore, throbbing like pain in that area.
It's like you can feel your blood pulsing it's like you've got like a concentrated area where the blood's going, so you can feel your pulse. That sucks.
And you're very hyper aware of it as well.
Yeah.
So I would like had the ice pack on there for a while and that helped sort of numb it a little bit and neutralize the swelling, I think, a bit. But I took it off just to sort of see, you know, how's it feeling? How's it going? And once I'd taken it away, the pain really came back. Like it was not nothing. I was surprised a little bit. But the end of the day, like I did not get an allergic reaction or anything. And I was like, okay, great. I'm feeling confident now. I've conquered this lingering existential fear of, wow, I wonder if I'm allergic to bees. I wonder if I'm allergic to wasps. I'd messaged all of these friends of mine as well to me, like, what do I do, wasp help? And I messaged one of our GP friends, an actual doctor. I said, oh, well, at least now I can rule out this allergy thing and live a little bit more confidently. And she says, oh, no, that's not how that works. Actually, the first sting is what can prime you for an allergic reaction. And it might be on the second sting that you then discover that you have this anaphylaxis. Because once the body's had it once, it's looking out for it. And now you're set. You know, now it happens. I was like, oh, great.
What the fuck?
Oh, good. Thanks.
Oh, good.
Thanks. Perfect.
You're developing anaphylaxis.
Yeah. I thought I'd crossed a fear off and now it's back worse. Now I'm 50% of the way there. Now all it takes is one more.
Or that friend. That's not a friend or a doctor as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, so now, you know, Michael, I am more nervous of bees and wasps now. Now I'm like, I've been there. I don't need that to happen again.
You've been there.
Yeah, well done.
You thought about it.
I considered it.
Yeah, I mean, I've always wondered about wasps because I've been stung by bees probably 50 times in my life.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I think how? I talked about it on the pod. Well, I thought I was a bee. I thought I actually was a bee whisperer when I was a child. And I would go up to bee, like up to a plant, and capture a bee, and then shake it up, and then talk to it, and then
I don't remember this at all.
This is when I was like probably 4 or 5, and I'd go up to my mum and I'd say, "Mum, look, I caught a bee," and she'd be like, "Yeah, good work, Michael." And then one day
she would be like, "Take that away."
Well, I probably did this for a year or two, but without getting stung. And then one day I got stung, and I was like, the bees had turned on me. And I'm like, Mum, I got stung by a bee. And I remember her saying, "Yeah, but that's what happens when you catch bees in your hand and you shake them up." I'm like, "So you knew this the whole time, that there was a risk?" She was like, she wanted to teach me a lesson, which I respect.
Wow. But
even over Christmas, I was back in Adelaide. I stepped on a bee, and I was actually taking out the trash. So I thought I'd stepped on some glass.
Yeah.
And because it just felt like that piercing,
it's that pierce,
thing. And I looked at my foot, and there was a stinger in there. I quickly flicked it out.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that bad. But I said to my mum, I said to Lauren, I said to my whole family, I was like, "I just got stung by a bee." No one gave a fuck. No one gave a fuck.
Well, maybe
that I got stung by a bee.
Word of your bee whispering had gone wide, and so they're all like, "Well, we know he's not going to die. He's been stung 50 times."
I mean, you want a bit of sympathy.
I agree. I mean,
it's the best part of getting stung.
That's the sympathy. I mean, this is all content as far as we're concerned, right? I'm glad that the wasp stung me. Now I have something to talk about.
Yeah.
But it's funny how quickly people forget, you know? Catch up with Sean and Chloe last night. They didn't ask me once about the wasp sting.
You know what? It takes a wasp sting. I think Oscar Wilde said this. It takes a wasp sting to really know who your true friends are.
Yeah. I think he was always wise, and that's probably one of his best.
Oscar Wilde.
Yeah. So that was when I almost died.
Well, I'm glad you're here to tell the tale. Now, let me tell you about a time I almost died.
Oh, okay.
Socially.
So there's I like that we both claim this twice back to back and then very quickly. Why not?
This is the most melodramatic podcast
that we've ever done.
Around.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is actually came to a head this morning. And it's been building up for a bit, and again, this involves the gym.
Oh,
because we
GymGab, hashtag GymGab,
the Joe Rogan Experience.
Except
you're listening to the Joe Rogan
slightly experience. Less homophobic. Yes,
well, depends which episode you're listening to. So, at my gym, right, and there's this very tall, very handsome African looking guy, right, that I've seen a couple of times. And he's got a real presence about him. He's like one of these guys. He's got a real presence about him.
Tall glass of water,
6'4", 6'5", very muscly.
Yeah.
Face is gorgeous. Like he's a handsome guy.
Yeah.
If I didn't know better than to guess in this day and age, I'd say he's a professional basketball player, like NBA. Wow. He looks like an NBA. He looks like a LeBron type.
Okay.
Okay. So the last few times I've been at the gym the same time as this guy, he's kind of caught me looking over, right? So I'm not like biting my lip or anything. I'm just, I find my eyes are constantly drifting.
Drinking him in. Yeah, we get it, man.
Just my eyes just keep going there.
Why would you not?
You know, 2 minutes between sets. Yeah. You know, I'm
just hypnotic.
I just go there.
Yeah.
Magnanimous. Like if Donald J.
not that one, but yeah.
Am I using that wrong?
No, yeah, you are, but that's fine.
What's magnanimous mean?
Magnanimous means generous or good or with good intentions.
I mean, he probably is magnanimous then. I'm not saying that's incorrect, but it is incorrect for now. But in the same way that if Donald Trump walked into your gym, you'd look.
Generous or forgiving, especially towards a rival or less powerful person.
All right. Well, so, I'm not.
Not that. He sounds quite a bit more powerful.
So this morning, this has happened a few times. He's caught me looking a few times. It's I've looked away. It's fine.
Are we talking eye to eye?
I'm looking and then he looks up.
Yeah.
And then he's looking at me. And I feel like, anyway. So this morning he catches me, and there's not that many people in the gym on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
He catches me in an extra long gaze.
Yeah.
And I get a little startled
yeah.
from this, because I think I've like drifted off in my head and,
yeah.
you know, my reflex to turn away wasn't quite as quick.
Yeah.
So now I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking now that he thinks this is a thing, which I just want to make clear. You're
worried that he's like, this guy's obsessed with me. This guy's
yeah.
doesn't, every time I'm here, he's just staring at me.
Yeah. Which I just want to make clear. It's true. I'm totally not obsessed. So I do what any reasonable person would do in this mm-hmm. scenario, and I just put the emergency brakes on, and I do a 180. I don't know if this is a good car analogy, but like I Fast and the Furious that shit, and yeah. I do a 180, and I boom out the other direction, and I go completely unnecessarily out of my way to show this absolute Adonis that I haven't been thinking about him the whole time.
Yeah. Picturing him naked, yeah.
Which I think I'm doing a pretty good job of.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure he's hurt by it. But, oh. you know,
yeah.
that's life, baby.
Yeah.
But then at one point he comes up to me. You know, I've got my headphones in. He comes up to me and he asks me if I'm using, you know, if I'm still using one side of the cable pulley.
Yeah.
And I barely respond to him, you know, no eye contact. Yeah, whatever, oh. take it. A little bit rude.
A bit like, cold.
Kind of rude because I'm still thinking about this thing.
Yeah.
And I put a little too much heat on it, I thought.
Oh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yeah, in normal situations, I'm a pretty polite guy.
Friendly guy, yeah.
Well-mannered young man.
Magnanimous,
but yeah. now I'm thinking, now I'm worried that Drain My Cock Johnson over here thinks maybe
I love that this has hung around.
Maybe he thinks I'm a little racist.
Oh, because, okay. Now you're because, in your head.
Now I'm in my head because I've been, you know, I'm thinking I've been, you know, last few weeks I've been staring at him and then finally he comes over and I'm like kind of rude to him.
Yeah.
So now I think he thinks I'm racist.
Yeah.
So I'm like in a lose-lose situation here.
Yeah.
So I did the only thing that I knew what to do.
Uh-huh.
I blew him in the showers.
And it was all a happy ending. Completely fine.
Completely fine.
That does make things better, doesn't it?
But it is a funny example. So it's a funny example of like just getting so in your head. Like this guy probably just doesn't think of me at all.
Yeah. What did you actually do? You just thought about it and then left? Or did you go and speak to him again?
Okay, so this is the added layer of embarrassment that I wasn't going to share with you.
Okay.
But I'm going to now.
Okay.
So you know what I did?
Okay.
And this is me being completely vulnerable.
Okay.
What I actually did
mm-hmm.
was write this down all in my phone.
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing that I told you,
mm-hmm.
I just read off my notes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was worried that Drain My Cock Johnson would actually come over and look, actually see my phone while I'm doing a leg extension and just be like, really?
Drain my cock Johnson? Yeah.
And then it's a whole thing. But then the other layer of embarrassment here, Nick.
Uh-huh. This is layer of embarrassment three, is that just so I can keep track?
Number three, baby. I actually ran this whole bit by Lauren earlier, about 2 hours ago. And
yeah.
Because, you know, I gave her the cliff notes. I gave her the cliff notes initially, yeah. and she was like, that's not podcast material.
Oh, she like has not listened to enough of these podcasts to know how low that bar is.
That's what I said. And so in order to prove that, I said, okay, yeah, well, I actually wrote this down and it's got some jokes in it. So then she kind of punched up my material here.
Okay.
So anyway, I feel like I've really exposed myself here, but you know, we suffer for our art, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, look, if I'm going to be real here, you've described, as you've said yourself, an Adonis, right? 6'4", muscular, you know, startling face. Great abs, you know.
Gorgeous.
Cheeks for weeks, you know. Like you,
your arms arms that you could film Lord of the Rings on.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Peter Jackson was scouting his arms landscape.
For background, just so he'd lie down behind fucking Ian McKinnon.
It's just cheaper to do it this way.
We don't have to go out into location. Yeah. So let me be honest here. This guy, he's a stud. He's hot. He gets super looked hot. At 24/7. Everywhere he goes, he's walking down the street, people are checking him out. He's in the gym, he's doing his bicep curls, people are checking him out. You know, he's closing the curtains on his house at the end of the night, someone's walking past with a dog, checks him out. You know, you're describing what we call in the business a hot guy. Hot guys get this all the time. This is their life.
Yes, we do.
They get looked at.
We do, but like, I don't know. I feel like some of us are less... Some of us aren't great at receiving it, and I guess that's our cross to bear.
It's tough for you guys.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So I would say that he's probably A, used to it. B, it might just be like a friendly thing, because here's the thing about making eye contact. It only works if both people are looking. So he was also, every time that you met eyes with him, he was looking at you. So
that's a good point.
It only ever works in two directions. He can't accidentally match
eyes.
Maybe
he's checking me out.
I think there's a shared... Here's my tip. Michael is someone who's a bit of a gym professional. Here's my tip. Next time you go there, next time you walk in, next time you see each other, next time you make eyes, give him one of these. a little bit of an eyebrow raise and a gentle nod. A bit of a, I see you, hey. Hey, we know each other. We work out together. We've seen each other. Give him a.
Hey. Just a nod.
Just like you're on your way to making a friend.
I see you. I see you. I was thinking, maybe
by
next
your name.
Time,
yeah.
Maybe even next time I go, I go out of my way. I take one headphone out and say, hey, mate, look, I know. I'm not a racist. I know. I know what this is.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Not that I haven't been tempted, but, you know.
He's just like, what? He's like,
sorry, I get propositioned everywhere I go, so you're going to have to really up your offer here.
He goes, by the way, I'm a big Deep Thought fan. I heard the last episode.
What would the odds of that be? Are you Michael from Deep Thought? That's why I kept looking over at you, because I was like, I'm sure that guy, I've heard that guy on my podcast.
I've heard that breathing before. I've heard that heavy breathing.
So you've described all of your tattoos in quite detail, and I just recognized you from across the gym.
Yeah.
Sun's out, guns out.
Yeah, man.
Oh, well. But
yeah, that's getting in your head, just going back and forth. It's a never-ending thing. But
we all have gym crushes. We've all been there. We've all caught ourselves looking at people.
Okay,
that
not
you
calling
weren't
it a gym crush.
But... Well, you sort of have, but yeah.
By the way, Lauren goes to the same gym that I do.
Yeah.
And when I was telling her this, the bullet points for this story, I was like, there's like a really like good-looking like black guy man. At the gym, and she goes, "Yeah, I know him."
Yeah, that's my point. That's
within 1 second, she's like, oh, yeah, another one.
You're describing a hot guy. Hot guys get looked at everywhere they go.
Yeah.
That's just normal
for you.
We do.
Yeah. They just keep going.
Yeah, keep it up.
Just speaking of being in your head, real quick here. On the last episode, you talked about some personal stuff, you know.
Great episode.
You know what? I actually listened to this one and I did like it. Well, I didn't hate myself, which I said to you that I thought I was going to. But can I just say, so many people like fucking messaged me after that episode, like including people that I haven't spoken to in a long time. And it was just so fucking nice. It was very supportive. Some people even like opened up about their own, journey and like, I know that this is just a stupid pod and no one thinks that this is doing anything, but it was actually really nice to hear, you know, people say that, you know, congratulations or, you know, I've been there and
yeah,
it was
I listened,
fucking
yeah.
great. It was fucking great. So I really do appreciate those messages. Still haven't, See, I haven't spoken to my own dad about it, but...
Well, just send him the link. But, just send him the link to the app.
Hey, Dad, want to know about my life? like and subscribe, Daddy.
Not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, not, that's what she said.
Not touching it.
That's what he said.
That is very nice that people reached out and got in touch, because I as I was editing it, I was like, this is a really nice thing and personal thing to have shared. And I'd said it to you at the time that I think people will appreciate that. And I'm glad to hear that people did. It was a very, very good episode.
Yeah, I guess like I expressed to you, it's like I'm super like worried about being like self-indulgent, you know. I know this podcast is kind of built on that, but like just like there's like a layer of insincerity sometimes that we can kind of rely on, and I think when we take that away and we're like, now this is actually something I was going through, I'm like a bit icky, but. Like, you know, part of the reason why we even started doing this, part of the reason why we're still doing this is to like checkpoint moments in our life. And I think this is one of those moments. Mm. And I think to that end, it's like, it's something I would like probably listen back to in 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
Just to check in with myself. So yeah, I was happy with it. But yes, thank you so much to everyone who actually sent me very sincere messages, and and even people that like I don't have like sincere, like our relationship is like just jokes.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, when those people are messaging me, like, a moment. Hey, yeah, like let's be serious here for a second, heard the pod, you know, just been thinking about you. And so yeah, great. Awesome. Great stuff.
Yeah,
I hate myself.
Well, we don't have to dwell on this too long, but checking in a few weeks on, how's it all feeling? Still good?
Yeah, man, it's very good. I've had a very good couple of work weeks. It's whatever is happening, whether it's placebo, whether it's my mindset, doesn't matter. It's just like things are looking up. It's all going great.
Awesome.
Really good.
I'm very glad happy to hear it. Yeah, great. Yeah. Should we get back into some stupidity?
Oh, please, dude.
Okay.
Please.
I have one quick thought, and then I have what I'd class as an interrogation.
It's going to be an autism test, isn't it? You're not going to tell me what it is.
Oh, fuck. That's
Let's
funny.
Just keep that's going. Funny.
How many of these things can we diagnose? That's funny. So here's my, for a podcast called Deep Thought, you know, a name that we've sort of stuck with despite its general meaninglessness, despite the idea that it was vaguely around the idea of deep thought, though that's never properly been expressed. I have for you a question that I consider perhaps a deepish thought. And I just want to put it out there. We don't have to talk about it. I just want to pose this thought. Okay.
Okay, pose.
So plastic is made from oil, which comes from dinosaurs. Chickens are descended of dinosaurs. So when you buy chicken breasts from the supermarket, you're buying dinosaur wrapped in dinosaur.
That is a deep thought. Yeah, I haven't had that myself.
It doesn't need to be really addressed. So it's just putting that.
I'm sure it will stay with me for a long time. You know, every time I go to the supermarket, I'll probably be thinking about that.
Eating dinosaur every day. Anyway,
yeah. I would like to eat a dinosaur. I think
you have.
I'd try it.
Have you ever eaten snake or crocodile?
Crocodile, yes, unfortunately.
You can get crocodile at Chinese restaurants pretty commonly.
I know. You can get it in Adelaide. Mm-hmm. Not to skip over that, don't really know what else to say about it.
There's nothing to say. I pre-warned you. It's not a discussion. It's just a thought.
This is, well, in the vein of thoughts that haven't really been thought out, no offense, I was watching the new Planet Earth series last night, first episode. Great, right? Mm-hmm. But I was thinking this morning that, you know, a lot of advertising is driven by sex, mm-hmm. right? A lot of advertising, like, but they're kind of going, like, movies and television and advertising products, they're kind of going for like a sex. There's like an angle of sex. Like, even if you sell a man a razor, right? You mm-hmm. see it like an ad for Gillette. He'll mm-hmm. be shaving, and then at the end, like, a woman will come up and be like, "Ooh,
yeah,
so smooth," you know.
I thought you did great in that ad, by the way.
As the woman, as the no, Venezuelan, as
a Spanish man, yeah, so smooth.
But like in the animal kingdom, right? Food. I feel like food is the real primal driver, right? That animals will mate, but and I'm sure that there's certain animals that will go long distances looking for a mate, but I feel like food, and this is just from planet Earth, food is the thing that really gets them going. So I was trying to think, like, I guess food is also something that is marketed to us on an instinct primal level.
Yeah.
But I wonder if you were like advertising to like lions, if you'd be like, you know, the advertising would be more food focused yeah. and blood.
Well, Animal Kingdom is all about like existence, right? Which I think is both of them. It's living to be able to procreate, right? It's both of those things is the drive, right? You have to stay yeah. alive, and then you have to create more of your species. So those two things are interconnected, because in order to eat, or in order to procreate, in order to, you know, have a chance at finding a mate, you have to be alive, which means you have to eat. So they're probably right. connected.
But that's a great point. It's such a cycle. And I know that we are on this cycle as well, like yeah. humans, I mean.
Yeah.
But it is so much, like, if you boil down existence, it is finding enough food to eat so that you can have the energy to find a mate, so that you can spread your genes, and then just like going on that loop. Yeah,
forever.
Yeah. And it does, when you kind of like take a step back and try and break it down like that, you do kind of think, what is the point? Like, what, I mean, like, there's like a different point. There is a different point for humans than there is for maybe a lion, but I don't know, maybe there isn't. But yeah. like if there's like a plankton in the sea, or like some sort of sea bug that you've never heard of, that's also, even though it's microscopic, also doing same the truth. Same thing yeah. that you're doing.
Yeah.
It's like trying to get energy from food by eating other things that are trying to find energy and trying to make, it's like, that's what life is, man.
Did you see that they captured for the first time video of whales having sex?
So I did. So the first episode was whales.
This is not related to Planet Earth at all. This is just another story. This was just a news thing that happened in the past couple of weeks.
Oh, didn't no, see this. I didn't.
So they captured. I think it was humpback whales having sex for the first time. True. Walked into that one. But here's the thing: first time they'd ever captured this. Two male whales. They captured for the first time sex between the species, and it was gay sex.
No.
Yeah.
Was this on your list of fucking science news?
This wasn't. News? You just set me up for this perfectly.
Why is this not on your list? Why is it just boring shit about concrete?
Concrete. But to be honest, we should talk about concrete.
Next episode. for the big 10-year finale. Anniversary.
Yeah, the video, let me see. I'm just doing a quick Google here. For the first time, researchers have observed humpback whales having sex. Not only that, both the whales photographed were male, marking the first example of homosexuality demonstrated in the species. The encounter occurred off the coast of Hawaii in January 2022, just a few meters under a researcher vessel. The photo was taken by Lyle Krennickfeld and Brandy Romano and published just Tuesday in Marine Mammal Science. There's a lot of description here about whale penises, which we don't need to go into. I was like, I don't know that we need to go there. There's not much more to say other than that it happened, okay. Which is one of them now many thousands of documented cases of homosexuality in the animal kingdom, which it feels like we've started to realize is very normal in those places as well.
Yeah. I mean, I'm interested in the evolutionary design or the purpose of it. Like, obviously, we've talked before about, like, I think you said that, you know, homosexuality may have developed as a way of maybe taking out, like, some sort of toxic masculinity out of, like, a group.
I don't remember that. It's possible. There's some speculation that homosexuality improves the fertility of females in the in the bloodline. So I think fertility, I guess if it's like an estrogen thing, maybe, like, fertility of the women in the family is stronger if there's a gay male there. Okay. There's also talk about the just like the social benefits of, like, fewer alphas competing for the females, means that you have a greater chance of, like, a successful pod, you know, coexisting and that sort of thing. Yeah, yeah. I don't think there's any distinct answers.
I think it is a fascinating area, and now that as a society we've kind of moved out of, more or less,
yeah,
this kind of taboo or demonization of it.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to move into the exploration, and, like, I'm just, like, I'm so fascinated by just from a evolutionary scientific point of view.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know, and I'm sure that, like, we'll get there, you know, probably in our lifetime, or at least, you know,
have a clear more of an
understanding. Yeah. But yeah, it's fascinating. Like, even in this Planet Earth episode, there's this colony of penguins just off the coast of Australia, Rain Island, it's called, Rain. And apparently turtles. When turtles, I'm not sure if it's all turtles, but this species of turtle, when they lay their eggs, if the temperature is higher, that lends itself to female eggs.
Yeah, I remember that now, yeah.
And now with global warming, obviously temperatures are rising, so 99% of the eggs that are being laid now at this island are female.
Females, yeah.
Which is, you know, you go, girl, but we don't need no male tortoises, but also probably going to lead to the demise of the species,
yeah. Crazy, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sad to think how much of the animal kingdom we're ruining with our just, like, selfish global warming, and all of these things are just going to die off.
But that's the good thing is, you know what the good thing is about climate change and global warming?
Okay, I'm very interested to hear.
Yeah, this is Tucker Carlson right now. The good thing is that, you know, even with, like, pollution, you know, waste ending up in our oceans, yeah, we're hurting the environment massively. We're hurting animals. But the good thing is they don't actually know that it's us. They, like, like a tortoise
we're getting
that's
away
getting,
with it. Yeah.
A tortoise that's getting caught in, like, fishing line, or like a six pack rings of beer. They're not thinking, oh, these bloody humans. They're just thinking, oh, what the fuck is that? Oh, life sucks. So there's actually no blame coming from the animal community.
It's like being sniped in the back of the neck by a wasp. Like, they don't see it coming. They don't know what the reason is, or, you know, why. They just suffer the pain and death that's associated with it.
They just think that's what life is.
How it happened. Yeah. I have looked up the Wikipedia page of homosexual behavior in animals to see if there is a consensus as to what the potential rationale for it. As you've correctly identified, scientists have referred to this sort of paradox as a Darwinian paradox, because homosexual behavior is non-reproductive and sexual behaviors require energy. So doing something that doesn't lead to the production of offspring, you know, what's the benefit here for the animal? So there's a few different hypotheses here. There's one angle of thought exploring a physiological basis, as in the varying levels of sex hormones in the animal, the size of the animal's gonads, whether that plays a direct role in sexual behavior or preference in the animal. That hasn't been established. So it doesn't really seem there's a great deal of evidence on that one. There's the genetic basis. So the idea that there might be a gene which influences estrogen levels, which could, you know, cause female mice to behave male as they grow up, or, you know, that sort of thing. There's a neurobiological basis. In March 2011, research showed that serotonin is involved in the mechanism of sexual orientation in mice. Similarly, a study conducted on fruit flies found that inhibiting dopamine neurotransmitters inhibited lab-induced homosexual behavior. So there might be like a neurochemical kind of thing going on. And then finally, other hypotheses here, the formation of alliances and mutual social benefit to the animals. Studies support this in specific species, such as black swans, where a quarter of mate pairs consist of two males who mate with a female, chase her away once she lays the egg, and then raise it themselves. These male-male pairs have great success defending their territory and resources, because they're males, and keep their young alive until the fledging 80% of the time, compared to only 30% for male-female pairs.
Yeah, wow. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Does it make, as a gay person, does it make you feel, you know, like, obviously, you know, like, I guess, like, religious folk are the ones that are most adverse or most vocal about
homosexuality.
And that also kind of crosses over with the types of people that are you know, not as interested in scientific understanding or progression. Does it give you a little bit of like sympathy for them, you know, knowing that this occurs in nature and knowing that, you know, this is, there is kind of in an evolutionarily kind of like weird fucked up way that we don't fully understand. Does it give you kind of like, does it help you frame your own homosexuality, or give you like, does it make you feel sorry for those people who, so, because it kind of makes sense for it to be like something that humans would be like, this is not good, like this is not helping the race, so this is wrong. So it, on a primal kind of level and an ignorant level, that kind of makes sense, but it also doesn't factor in.
It makes science. Sense to recognize it as atypical, right?
Yes,
like okay. you can. It's not homophobic to say that it's less prevalent than heterosexuality, you know. So is that what you're getting at? Like, you can understand why they would note it as
different. What I think of it as like monkeys, like, or like chimpanzees. Like, chimpanzees don't understand science, and I mean, I'm pretty sure chimpanzees are like maybe more homosexual than humans. but
the gayest but of the monkeys, yeah.
But you know, if we, it kind of makes sense to me that as we start to, you know, go up to like, you know, even just like realizing that having sex with a man and a woman produces a baby, another human, that takes a level of cognition that I don't think was already there. We take for granted now, but
yeah,
I mean, that's kind of a weird leap if you don't understand the science.
Yeah, we talked about
So from like a very ignorant, you know, medieval, biblical kind of perspective, it kind of does make sense to me that people would be like, it tracks. It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, it does make sense to me, but it tracks that we as a human civilization would reject it.
But here's the thing. If you go back 2000 years, it was actually super common. You go back to the ancient Greeks.
The Greeks.
And they're all, you know, the prejudice there was positions. It was okay to fuck a guy, but being the bottom was seen as, you know, an inferior thing. But you could, you know, do whatever you want to someone and not be judged for it. It was very common. And often it was this weird sort of mentor kind of teacher and master thing, where like the older academic would get to have his way with like a mentee. Like 2000 years ago, this was very common and not prejudiced, you know, bottom That's shaming aside. But like the medieval ages and the rise of Christianity and that kind of stuff, and that witch trial phase and all the fear of the different and all that kind of stuff, that comes later, you know.
I guess it might be like almost purely the introduction of religions and the texts and the reference to them as, you know, as whoever wrote them. And it certainly wasn't fucking God.
Yeah.
It's the referral to these texts as holy.
Yeah.
And some people in the fucking desert made this shit up at some point. And I'm not saying all of it's bad.
Yeah.
Because some of it is good.
No, but there's like, a time when it didn't exist, and there's a time when it did exist.
They didn't get everything right.
Yeah.
And I guess it more comes from that.
Yeah. And I mean, you talk about the social purpose or the cultural purpose of othering people, right? Like a very good way to increase the potency of your religious doctrine is to separate yourselves from others, right? To make you the chosen ones and them the, you know, the others, the different, the ones that are heathens and that are going to have bad things happen to them. You know, you need, yeah, in a way, for some of these movements to take foot, an idea of an identity, right? Of a defining characteristic and of things that are good and things that are not. So it sort of comes with the territory that you start to draw those lines, right? Yeah. It's not universally true, of course. You can look at something like Buddhism, which is much less dogmatic about who is and isn't allowed to participate. But generally speaking, I can understand where that kind of antagonism came from. Yeah. I would say that I don't really feel sympathetic towards homophobes. I can understand it with feeling like it's still bigoted, ooh, and unnecessary.
Well, in this day and age, it's harder to feel sympathy for them, but I guess like everyone that is still like steadfastly homophobic, like they all have, it just comes from their upbringing, I guess, like it's how they were raised, and it's like tradition is so hard to beat out of people unless, yeah, you leave it early. And I think, you know, in a way you can't really blame, but like then how far do you take that? You're like, well, you know, then you're excusing racism and transphobia and all the phobias, you know, arachnophobia, you know.
There are so many examples of like tolerant ally Christians these days that still being, yeah, a bigoted Christian is like passé, you know, like, come on, be an Anglican.
Hashtag be Anglican.
Yeah, that's the big takeaway from this episode of Deep Thought. if you've enjoyed this episode, that's very kind of you. It's nice of you to participate in an hour of fun and frivolity. And there's plenty more of that wherever you'd like to access it, whether that's Spotify, whether that's further down your podcast feed, on your Apple Podcasts, on your Overcast. Check out other episodes. They're all pretty good. And then get in touch with us. You can email us at deepfort@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram, which is back up and running again after our moment of, yeah, just deletion. But we're there. Yeah. We're around again. We're on our Facebook page. Leave a comment. You know, get in touch.
By the way, a few people also reached out, said that after the last episode, same thing happened to them.
Oh, God. Yeah. It's going around.
Asking for tips. And I was like, I have no advice. I have no idea what worked.
Yeah. The other thing that's probably worth noting, I was about to say show notes, but I think I mean like housekeeping. We're going to be off for 3 weeks. I am going on a hike, disappearing over Easter. You got Trek. Some travel, you got some things going. So we will be 3 weeks away from this episode going up, and we're going to come back on the anniversary of our first show 10 years later. We've got our 10-year anniversary show. We're going to come back strong, but, you know, a little bit of a gap until that point.
10 years, Nick.
10 years, Michael. Let's not do this conversation now. We'll do that for that.
But let's just do it over Messenger.
I'll send you a letter. Can hear it. Yeah. So I have an interrogation. It's very brief. Okay. Michael, please acknowledge me when I speak to you. Michael.
Sorry, you're in both of my screens here, so I can see you both here and there.
Okay, that's fine. Michael, it has come to my attention that you have a LinkedIn, and I need to know why, and I am going to do my best not to judge you on this, but I'm going to be honest, it's difficult for me not to think you've sold out.
Okay. So first cab off the rank.
Uh-huh.
Why do you know I have a LinkedIn?
I'm not allowed to say. You Googled me. I'm not allowed to say.
Why did you Google me?
I'm not allowed to say.
Why did you Google me?
I didn't Google you. I heard this from someone.
Why did Casey look me up on LinkedIn?
No, Casey's not on LinkedIn. Yeah.
You have to tell me.
I promised I wouldn't.
Tell me. Tell the listeners.
Okay, I'm going to beep it.
Oh, so, what the fuck? Okay.
So now that beep is gone, you have you heard the context, which I promise not to tell anyone.
Yes.
But look, I was under the impression that LinkedIn, A, is not used seriously by anyone. B, if it is used seriously, is by 65-year-old boomers. Explain yourself.
Not true. That's not true. I have had LinkedIn for ages. I've had LinkedIn for probably 7 years now when I started looking to move into career or like career focused stuff. It's basically an advertising thing for myself. I don't know why it's that weird. It's actually helped me find the last three jobs that I've gotten.
Really?
Yes. And it's, I actually quite like LinkedIn. I think it's the new Facebook.
Okay. It's really?
More, like the posts are more interesting than Facebook. They're more targeted. And I mean, look, the thing about LinkedIn is that like everyone's not themselves. So it's like Facebook, but if everyone was trying to be like, you know, small talk version, a fake version of themselves.
Right.
Which I quite like. You know, I don't like that in real life.
That's the person
I like
you are in real life online. When you're dealing with people, yeah.
I mean, look, every time I have posted on there a little bit lately, and, you know, it would just be like projects that I've been working on, like work projects, things that have been published, whatever. And every time I hit post, I'm like, I fucking hate myself. Because I know that I'm not being who I really am.
It's
I'm being a different version. I'm being corporate Mike. No one likes corporate Mike.
Corporate Mike would never turn up for a meeting in a tank top.
Disgusting. But it does serve a purpose. I like it. I check it every day.
You check it every day?
Yeah,
What's going on here? What's the content you're getting?
It's on my homepage, and Facebook and Instagram is, you know, page 4.
LinkedIn app is your homepage.
No, well, it's on my homepage on my phone.
Yeah,
my landing page. So
your first screen.
This is how much I'm checking it. But yeah, and look, dude, do I hate myself? Yes, I do. Am I playing the game? Yes, I am. I mean, what do you want me to say?
I am shocked that is a home screen app for you. I just don't know how to deal with that, Michael.
But Nick, this is, you're in the luxurious position of not have, I
being
mean,
employed.
There is a, well, but there is a parallel universe where you were a lawyer or you were you're kind of a sellout,
chemical
like
engineer.
Fucking big old Mike over here. And
don't call me Mike, please.
That was the most offensive thing to you. I called you a corporate sellout and you were like, don't call me Mike. I don't like it. I don't like that it's on my homepage. But
I'm hearing mixed feelings. You're saying that you like it. You're saying you don't like it.
Well, I'm embarrassed and I'm defensive and I'm acting out. I don't really know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is, man. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Michael,
I get more engagement, more likes from my posts on LinkedIn than I do on Facebook and Instagram. So maybe I'm a, you
Michael,
know.
Explain this to me. 388 followers, 380 connections.
So he's on the page. He's on the page.
Greater Melbourne area. I'm a media and communications specialist with 5 years experience in the industry. Right. Who is this person? 388.
Is that big or not good?
I don't know. That seems like a lot to me.
Well, once you on LinkedIn, once you get to 500, it becomes 500 plus.
Oh, so that, gosh.
So I'm actually a little insecure about that. Yeah. What do you think of the photo, though? You like the photo?
I can't actually see the photo because I don't have a profile. So it's just showing me a blank face.
But oh, is
if you,
that right?
Yeah. If you want to show me what the photo you've used is, I'll certainly take a look.
Well, the photo for that is actually quite funny because we got those photos professionally done by a friend of ours, and I couldn't, it's in black and white, and I couldn't smile, right? It's meant to be a professional photo. You're meant to smile just a little bit.
Yeah.
Not too much.
Just a hint of a smile, yeah.
Just a hint of a smile, friendly, like a professional
friendly
smile.
Friendly but professional, yeah.
And I could not do it. So he actually, in that photo, if anyone's got me on LinkedIn that's listening, that photo, that smile is photoshopped in.
I'm As not in kidding. Your face, your mouth, are you taken from another photo where you were smiling, or he's just Correct. smudged the edge of the lips?
No, he's moved my lips up to make it look like I'm smiling because I could not do it.
This has been everything I wanted and more, Michael. This is everything I wanted.
I'm surprised that you... I want to send you this photo now because please, I think I can see it.
Wow.
Yeah,
I mean it looks classy. That's a flattering photo. But how has he done it?
He's very good.
He's stuck a different mouth on from a different photo, or he's actually tweaked where the lips were.
I think he moved up the. If you're looking at the photo, the right side.
Everyone listening at home, check your chapter title here. The image is on the chapter title.
You're going to just link to my LinkedIn profile.
Yeah, click the link in the chapter title. Go straight to Michael's LinkedIn.
Good content here, baby. Good content. You know, we only the best for our listeners.
If that is a pure Photoshop job where that's the original image and he's just tweaked it, he hasn't copied and pasted a different mouth in on top of it, if he's literally just pulled those lips and made it a smile, that is a fucking incredible photo job.
He's very good. Shout out to we actually shouted him out last week for having one ball, so maybe bleep that again. But will be the guy that...
Stop saying his name. I have to beep it every time.
It's funny when you bleep. There's nothing funnier than a bleep.
I'm so sorry.
I love it when you bleep. Just bleep everything. It's great. He knows. He knows, by the way. He was like, thanks for the shout out the other day when I got my name bleeped.
Oh, God.